That's what's already been stated. It's already been good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I'm thankful for what I'm able to feel. I'm thankful how the Lord just blesses us from time to time and allows our cup to fill up, I guess would be the right way to say it. We're thankful for the ones that came out to be with us this morning and our visitors that's come back to be with us. And we're thankful for each and every one. Before we move on in the service, I'd like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts this morning that needs to be said or done. Feel the need to ask my preaching brethren if anybody's got a thought or anything that they feel like needs to be said. If not, we'll move on to what the Lord has placed upon our hearts. If you got your Bible and you'd like to follow with me, I'm going to at least start off with the 34th chapter or division, the book of Psalms. And before we go further, I do feel the need to say this. I'm thankful that the Lord sends His Spirit and allows Him to move amongst God's people. I'm also thankful for the good old saints that allow God to use them to whatever it is that the Lord would have them to do. I am so thankful for the song selection that was made and presented this morning, and especially one that Sister Marilyn requested. I want to say this, as what Sister Bella's already said, if you're lost, we want to stroll over heaven with you one day. You know, the chorus of the song, it just said how we'll see all the beauties and splendors and how everything's just going to be made new. I'm looking forward to seeing that, you know. But I'm also looking forward to seeing my Jesus, who's going to be in the center of heaven. You know, the Bible says there's no need for the Son because the Son of God is the light of heaven Himself. He's right there in the center there. He's the glory and the wonder, the main attraction of heaven, if you will allow me to say that. I'm looking forward to seeing the man who died on the cross for my sin, and I'm looking forward to seeing and worshiping the one who reached down one day and saved my soul. I'm looking forward to that. But until that point, there's work that needs to be done here. Until we get to that point of death, from crossing from death to life, there's a point that we got work to do that needs to be done. Lost souls need to hear the gospel. And lost souls, we need to pray for that the Lord just convict them and get to a point where He can save them. There's work that needs to be done. You know, the next lesson of Sunday school, it's entitled, Let Your Light So Shine. And I'm looking forward to that, to start that next Sunday. Folks, I tell you, we need to let our light so shine in this world. You know, what is it? Jesus told His disciples, you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. There's a song that my mother taught us, and when we were in Sunday school there at Pleasant Grove Church, and it sticks with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. That might seem a little elementary, but folks, we need to let it shine before the men and the sinners of the world. They need to know that there's something special about that man that died on the cross of Calvary. They need to know that there's something different about God's people and the institutions of the world. They need to understand that. And folks, how can they if we just quench the Spirit? Allow it to move. you know, I've been in a service before, and I don't know if I'll get to what the Lord said on my heart. That's fine, but I've been in a service before where there'd be 2, 3, 4 people preaching, you know. But then I've been in a service before where there'd be no preaching. And let me tell you what, that's wonderful. It is to see God's people just move and testify and let the glory of the Lord shine upon. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Folks, we still need to do that this Sunday morning. We're now in February of 2021. You know, the Lord, I believe He has not lost any bit of His saving power. You know, I greatly believe that. I believe He's still in the saving business. And I believe He still wants to save those that are lost. But I believe first that the church needs to get to a place where she's serious and desires lost souls to be saved and seek after God themselves. What is it Paul told the church at Corinth? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I, Paul, have planted and Apollos have watered, but God give the increase. You know, your job might not be to sow the seed. Your job might not be water the seed. But in everything, God will give the increase in due time. We just need to follow that sweet Spirit of God. Now, the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. The writer was writing this, and I want to say this before we dive any further. I love the book of Psalms, and I relate a whole lot to the writers whenever they write. I especially relate to the one who started off writing the 116th chapter of Psalm, but he said, I love the Lord. Because He heard my voice and my supplication. He heard my pleading one day. Oh, I'm so glad I can relate to that. And folks, if you don't relate to that at all, then there's something wrong. I tell you, when the Lord reached out and saved my soul, you know, I've said this plenty of times, I was just thankful that I wouldn't go to the devil's hell, but the more over time that I grow and grow closer to the Lord, the more I just love my Lord for saving my soul that day. We need to love our Lord. You know, the 34th chapter of Psalm starts out. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And I'm going to stop right there, if it be the Lord's will. You know, as I was thinking and pondering about this verse of Scripture this past week, my mind just kept going back to the day that the Lord saved my soul. You know, up to that point, I had to get myself in some trouble. You know, there had to be, and I've said this, and I believe with my heart, that one cannot be saved unless they realize where they stand with God. They realize their soul condition. And one day, I just had to realize my soul condition with God. And you know, I'm thankful for the men and women of old. I'm thankful for mom and dad. Have they drug me to church from time to time? But let me tell you what, they was not ashamed to stand up and say, pray for Micah that the Lord would deal with him. Sometimes that would embarrass me, you know. But I tell you what, If all I had to do was deal with a little bit of embarrassment, then that's fine. Because, folks, those people were serious, and they desired for me to be saved. They desired that the Lord would just trouble my soul one day. They were diligent workers. They were so worried about where I was going if I died. And folks, I tell you this, whenever the Lord let me know that I was lost, I was so scared that I could not sleep that night. It was hard to eat breakfast that Sunday morning before we headed to church. But I tell you this, as a man that was been born again, that witnessed the second birth, I ain't afraid of death no longer. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes whenever I think about the sting of death and how it might come about, I don't like the thought of maybe somebody coming into my house and shooting their guns, or the thought of me getting a head-on collision on the road. But I tell you what, if that does happen, there's no need to be worried about it. There's no need to just worry about where I was going, because the Lord saved my soul and I had that sweetest peace that has ever came in and flooded my heart. I'm thankful that the Lord lets us know where we stand with Him. There's people out there in this life, you might ask them, well, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I think I'm saved, or I might be saved, or, well, I've been baptized a time or two. But I tell you this, being saved by the grace of God, you've got to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved. Because it's important. And matter of fact, there's a song that says, that asks a question. It says, what will I leave behind? And I've thought about that a time or two. But what will I leave behind? Well, I leave behind friends and family that knew that I loved them. But the main important thing is that I leave behind a testimony of salvation. That's important, to tell people your testimony of salvation. Especially those who maybe have been saved and the devil's got them in a confused state, We need to pray for them, that the Lord would just show them one way or the other. I remember at one point in my life, Satan had corrupted my mind and my heart to the point where I was just confused. And folks, I tell you what, being confused about your soul salvation is scary. It is. And it got to a point where I said, Lord, if I'm saved, then show me. But if I'm not, then convict me. And you know what? He took me back to that mourner's bench there at Pleasant Grove Church. I'm thankful that we preach about having a time and place where you make peace with God. I'm thankful for that. And folks, the church does not need to move away from that. We don't need to be worried about having a big crowd or about pleasing people. We need to be worried about pleasing God and seeing lost souls get saved. It says here in the 34th Psalm, in that third verse, it said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Jesus said in the book of John, I think it's the sixth chapter of John. I could be wrong about that. But He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And let me tell you what, that is a promise that I've seen Him keep. If the Lord is just lifted up, why the Lord needs to be lifted up? Because it's not about me or you. We're just sinful people. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know what that makes you? a sinner that has been saved by grace. We're just sinful people. But I tell you this, there was a man who is the Son of God who one day came down to the world and died on the cross for our sins. What was it? John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down one day there at Jerusalem. And John the Baptist looked and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I'm thankful for that Lamb of God. You know, there's a thing, there's an ordinance that the church upholds, and it being the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm a little confused. I don't know when this, 100%, when this church does their Lord's Supper or communion or whatever you want to call that. That's okay. Somebody can just fill me in later. But I can tell you this, everything that's done in that ordinance represents the Lamb of God. You know, that unleavened bread that we eat, it represents the body that was broken for our sins. And people at first, well, that unleavened bread doesn't taste good. It shouldn't taste good. Because let me tell you what, that death, I believe, didn't taste good to Jesus' mouth at all. That he bore. But I tell you what, the Bible even tells us in 1 Corinthians how the Lord's Supper shouldn't be made into a party. It shouldn't be made into a feast. And if it is, then that's unruly. And the church has no place in taking in the ordinance. And I will say this too, that Paul even told the church at Corinth to examine yourselves. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, now, Brother Barber, if we really examine ourselves, none of us is fit to take the Lord's Supper." Well, I agree with you there. But I believe what Paul was talking about was something that was just much more deeper than that. Now, as before you partook of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine to drink, he said, "Examine yourself, search and examine your relationship with God before you take it. And if you're distant from God, then you're not fit to take it." That's what he was saying. If you're distant from God, you strayed away, you're not fit and qualified to take it. Hey, you know, we talk about the fruit of the vine and how it was poured there, and Jesus said, "Take, drink, this is my blood." Hey, you know what? Folks, I tell you what, that blood that was shed on Calvary, that body that was broken, it covers and it washes our sins all away, even to today. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what it means. But you know, we read how in Exodus chapter 12, Moses, that the Lord had told Moses, you know, it was talking about the Passover feast, that I believe that that was a resemblance of the Lord's Supper. But you know, he was talking about the Passover feast, that he said, whenever you go and take this feast, that you need to take the lamb, not just any lamb that you need to take, but you need to take a lamb, a male lamb, one of the first year, but one that was pure and had no spot and had no blemish in it. You know what that represented? It represented none other than Jesus Christ himself. It represented that Lamb of God that John the Baptist saw coming down one day. And you know, I'm thankful. You know, we need to magnify the Lord together. We need to exalt his name. We need to do our very best to preach nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because what else can we teach? Amen. There's no other plan of salvation. Jesus even said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Galatians, I believe, chapter 1, Paul was telling the church of Galatia that there's no other gospel that needs to be preached. He was also telling the church of Corinth, I believe in the 15th chapter, if I'm not wrong, in 1 Corinthians, he was telling the church there, he said, "For we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and not ourselves." Honey, I'm telling you, I'm thankful that we don't preach about ourselves. Because all we are, we fail God daily. If you want to be honest about it, we fail God on a daily basis. I believe today, though, I believe that that when we get closer and we truly desire to be close to God, we can limit the number of sins that we do on a daily basis. But you know what? This sinful body, it's earthly and it's corrupt and it's going to die daily. And that's what causes us to sin. Folks, we need to put the flesh into subjection of the things of the Spirit. And when it comes to the service of the Lord's house, when we're in His house for service and worship, we need to make sure that the worldly lusts and the thoughts that creep into our mind, we need to ask God to help us that does not happen. Because I believe Satan uses that from time to time to get our mind off what's important. It said, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. There's no other place on the face of this earth that I'd rather be than with just a bunch of God's people who try to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. No other place. And you won't find a better place to be than in the Lord's house. But you know, we go further. And the writer was saying, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm thankful one day that there was a 7-year-old sinner boy that went to the altar, and he sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all the fears. You know what that fear was? Dying and going to the devil's hell. Folks, there needs to be that fear and those that are lost. But there also needs to be that fear for those that are lost with those that are saved. We need to have that fear for them. You know, we read in the book of Proverbs how the writer Solomon was telling us, he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Not just a vision of seeing the church grow and multiply, but a vision of seeing lost souls dying and going to a devil's hell. That needs to scare us and shake us to our very core. This is something that does not need to be taken lightly. And let me tell you this. You know what the worst thing that hinders a lost sinner is, that stands in the way of a lost sinner is? It's not social media. It's not the news that's out here. But it's a sinner that's been saved by grace acting like somebody that is lost. That is the biggest hindrance to lost souls today. I believe this, folks. They need to see that there has been a change in God's people. We preach once saved, always saved. But that does not give you the excuse to go out and live like the world. The Bible teaches us plainly. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill, it cannot be hid. The Bible teaches us plainly that we are to shine that light as bright as we can. Even if it means we have to stand alone. You know what the Bible tells us in Romans, though? If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, Satan tries his very best to go and to creep into the church houses and to destroy God's people and to hinder God's people. Folks, I tell you what, we need to be on guard. Things might be going well for friendship right now. But folks, I tell you what, we don't need to let our guard down. Because the very moment that we think things are going well and we let our guard down is when Satan will come in and destroy God's people. And not just this, but folks, when it comes to serving God, it's not just that you come into the church house on Sunday morning kind of thing. It starts in your home. Starts in
your life. It starts that Monday morning when you wake up, you take your very first breath of the day, and you roll out of the bed. You have a decision. Do I serve God or do I live like the world? And Jesus told us very plainly in the book of Matthew, he said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know what that means? You can't hold hands with the world and hold hands with God at the same time. You can't serve two masters. You either have to let God go or let the world go. And folks, I want to be very clear when I say this. Be careful of the decisions that you make. You know, and I believe God gives us free will to do so. We read in Joshua, where Joshua looked at the people of Israel and he said, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that choice. What's your choice this morning? You going to serve God? You going to live like the world? Now, we read, I believe, it's somewhere in the 84th chapter of Psalms. Maybe the 82nd, I don't know. We read in the 85th chapter of Psalms, it asks the question. In the 6th verse, it says, will thou not revive us? You know, we speak of revivals and how it would happen. You know, it don't just happen on the second Sunday night of June through that week. I believe if the church really desired it, we could have a revival at this very second. And if the church worked for it, we could have a revival this very second. And I believe, folks, if we prayed about it and prayed for it, that God would bless us with a revival at this very second. But as what Brother Merle said this morning in the preliminaries, you get in once you get out. If you don't work, guess what? You don't eat. I'm thankful that I was raised up. The mom and dad taught us that if you ever wanted anything or if you ever needed anything, you needed to go out and work for it. I tell you what, folks. You want God to pour down the blessings on Friendship Church, then Friendship Church needs to work for it. We want to see lost souls get saved, then Friendship Church needs to work for it. Not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday through Sunday. Week long, every single day that God allows us to live. We want to see lost souls get saved. We want to see our family and our friends to come to the church house. And we want to see sinners repent of their sins. We need to work for it. We need to pray for it. And all in all, we need to exalt the name of the Son of God. If I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm thankful for the spirit that I've already been able to feel. But folks, God's not done just yet. I believe this. Folks, we came into the church house to serve God. Folks, let me tell you what. There's so many people today in our churches. They come to the church house of God. They sit down on a bench. You know what they want to do? They just want to be bench warmers. They don't want to do anything. Folks, I tell you what. If you came here to be a bench warmer, you came here to go through the motion just to tell everybody at work that you've been to church, and you came here for the wrong reason. Let's just be honest about it. You came here for the wrong reason. Amen. We need to come to God's house with a burden in our hearts. Amen. We need to come to God's house with a prayer in our hearts. We need to come to God's house with something that's just stirring us up to see people get saved and lift up Jesus Christ. they see him. And we need to work so that men don't see us, but see Jesus Christ. It's not about us. You know what is it? Isaiah tells us that our righteousness is just as filthy rags. Our righteousness, our self-righteousness, it's nothing but just filthy rags in the eyes of God. There's nothing special about us, but there's something special about that man who's going to be in the center of heaven. There's something special about that man who's the light of heaven himself. There's something special about that man that reached down and saved my soul. And I want everybody to know the same man that I know. I want everybody to know that same peace that I know. I'm thankful to see little ones running around. There's a song. I want to say this and I'll be done. There's a song in our hymn books. In the chorus, it says, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do you know Jesus today? If you're lost and separated from God, that is a very serious question to ponder. And for those of us who have been saved, if you know Jesus, praise the Lord for it. But it's time to get to work for those who do not. Brother Danny, I want to thank you for the song selection for last week. There's a song that was sung last Sunday that sort of got me pondering and thinking this past week. Had me singing it in my free time too. It says, I could tell you now the time, and I could take you to the place where the Lord saved me. If you have that time and place, tell somebody about it. If you don't have that time and place, sinner friend, it's time to get serious about it. Let me tell you what, folks, you're not even promised to walk out the doors this morning. You're not. We're not promised our very next breath. I've heard of people to die in the church house. Death knows no boundaries. Sinner friend, are you ready to meet death? If this was your very last day, I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of it. But I above all pray that the Lord God honor and glory. Sister Rachel, as you'd get a song, let us all stand and sing and let us ponder the things that's been said. And if God's telling you to do something, folks, Psalms 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's time for us to say so, folks. Sister Rachel.
We'll turn to page